Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, as we open your word, we pray that you would bless it, dear Jesus. Would you lead by your spirit? Would you help us to speak your words this morning? Not to speak from ourselves, God, but to speak as you would have us to speak, dear Lord, we pray. That we all might receive what we need today. Help us to open up our hearts. Help us to be able to, God, and receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to ask you a question this morning. I'm going to draw a line across the board here. And this line is a ceiling, so to speak. And this ceiling is smartest or wisest man who ever lived. Now this morning, I'm going to ask you for some names, and just for clarity's sake, none of us get to be on this board this morning, okay? All right. So, but I want you to give me some names of some people who might be in this discussion, okay?
Jesus.
Okay. Jesus was a very special man. We're going to exclude him for the purposes of this discussion right now. So let's go on from there and get some other names too.
Solomon,
okay. We'll write Solomon down here. And now we're gonna write Solomon's name. I'm sorry, I just wrote his name. We're gonna draw Solomon's line. Bethany, this is the smartest man who ever lived. You tell me when to stop this line. This is how smart Solomon was. You tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay. All right. Okay. Somebody have another name?
Einstein.
Einstein is one I thought about. All right. Man, I got his name right. All right. Warren, you said his name, so you tell me when to stop. All right, there we go. All right, any other names?
Benjamin Franklin.
Franklin, yes. Okay, he was a smart guy. Okay, you tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay.
Isaac Newton.
Newton, okay. Let's put him on there, definitely. All right, you tell. Was that Cameron?
Dave.
Dave, sorry, those voices I wasn't looking. All right, Dave, you tell me when to stop.
Stop.
All right.
Just put a woman up there. Marie
Curie. Curie. All right, was that with a Y or an IE? Okay, so now I'm going to start drawing. You tell me when to stop.
Stop.
All right. All right, we got room for one more. Does anybody have another one?
Edison,
yes. Thought about him too. Edison, all right. Tell me when to stop. All right. Looks pretty fair there. Okay, so these men here, and it's hard to say who was just the smartest ever, but we've kind of got some lines here, esteeming their wisdom and what they had, and y'all can see how it is there. They all vary a little bit. They all probably got a lot closer to that smartest man line than I did. But, okay, let's think about that for a minute. I want to ask you one more question before we open up the Bible. Now, what do we know Solomon for, kind of? Think about it. You know, we won't make this a discussion. Think about what we know Solomon for. All right? Think about what we know Einstein for. The wisdom. I'm talking about the wisdom. Now, made some mistakes there. Not really talking about that. The wisdom, though, that we know. Okay, what the wisdom that we know Franklin for. And Newton's wisdom, Curry's wisdom, Edison's wisdom. The wisdom we knew him for, would you say it was a good thing or a bad thing?
Good.
I think pretty much I look at all of them. When I think about the wisdom that came out of them, I think they all had some good stuff. Some things that we use today from, I mean, Edison, Newton. I mean, just start thinking about the things we use. There's good things from all of this, okay, that has come. And we benefit from in life. Obviously, there's a point. I'm thankful for what this wisdom here has brought into my life. But I also know there's something that lives up here. And that's what we want to bring out today, okay, that lives above that line. And it doesn't necessarily mean this is all bad. It just means there's something above this line as well. All right? James, the third chapter. It says, 13th verse, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? All right? That's what we're talking about this morning. Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So just as we read along here, we've talked about this some before, but a good conversation is behavior. So James is saying, look, okay, we're not claiming there is no wisdom, all right? And we're not saying that we should do away with wisdom. That wisdom is a bad thing, that we don't have any benefits from the wisdom that men have brought and have shared, you know, what they've been able to come up with. We're not saying we haven't benefited from that at all. But is there a man who's wise this morning? Is there one who has wisdom? Then realize the importance and what you need to do. Realize that your wisdom in and of itself is not the solution. It's not the answer. It's not the ticket to what life is about. All right? While it helps in so many ways, it is not the ticket. Here's what you should do. You should be meek. You should have a good conversation, a good behavior. This is where whatever works come out of your life should be coming from this. This personality, this attitude that you have. And we say this because we can look at these people and say, well, they got built up in wisdom and forgot. You know, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But that's easy to think. And we can begin to think, I said that a little backwards of what I meant to. We can begin to think that their wisdom is the answer that would help them stand the way they need to stand. But it's not in ourselves that we, and y'all help me because I can't, y'all pray for me. No matter how wise I get, I don't suddenly get a ticket that bypasses all the things that really matter in life that dwell in this place, all right? So it says, let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. But this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. There is a being up here that looks down and says, you can be as smart as you want to, you still have to answer to me. You still have to answer to who I am. This is what we're trying to get to. All right? And there's expectations that this man up here has. All right? That he wants, that this being up here has. There's an expectation he has on our lives. All right? In Psalms, the 19th chapter, all right, and there's so much here, but it says in the 7th verse, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. What was the part of Solomon's wisdom? Was there a mount, was there a particular part of it that it could accomplish what needed to be accomplished? It's on past what this world has to offer. Seems complicated. I hope you're following what I'm saying. I think maybe so. Is there a wisdom that Einstein had that could do something more besides address outward issues in this life? Was there something Einstein had that could go past what we can see here? Was there something that Franklin had? Franklin especially spent some time thinking about this. You read some of his stuff. He thought about, he talks a lot about, what was the word he put on it? Morals, basically, but he had another word for it, and I can't get it right now. Franklin actually spent some time on this, and he expressed some frustration with it, right? So Franklin was a wise man, but there's something, there's still something that his wisdom couldn't quite get to, right? Newton, Newton had a lot of things. Was there something in his wisdom? Curie's wisdom. Edison had all kinds of inventions. I'm thinking about, I mean, he had a bunch of inventions, but even Edison didn't have anything that could, it could do a lot in the outward world and what we see. In the confines of our environment, in the confines of what we walk in and live every day, amazing things that he came up with and accomplished. But none of his inventions can get past this life, can get to the part of us that matters for eternity. Does that mean all his inventions are bad? No. A lot of them are great. They just couldn't do it. There's something past this that has to be addressed. And the burden this morning, as we say that, is this can all these wonderful things. And today we live in a world with so many inventions and things are coming left and right. And there are going to be some bad things come from them. But there's going to be a lot of good things. A lot of things that, man, this is really a benefit. We were really benefiting because this person was able to think of this. And now we have this gadget or this understanding or something, and it really helps us in this life. We can do a lot more things. But there's not somebody someday who's finally going to come up with something that can get past this life. That's something that God has put limits on. And it's only in His wisdom that we can begin to address those things. That means any of this is bad, we're going to enjoy blessings from this. But we can't forget in all of this what matters most. And it says here, the law of the Lord is perfect. What does perfect mean? You know, in all this wisdom, if you're saying that we need the needs of this world addressed and the needs of eternity addressed, as a man, that's, and as a person, I'm looking to have needs of this. I'm glad we have heat this morning. I'm glad somebody figured that out at some point in history. And we have it. That's the need I have that I'm so glad it's been met. And I have, I'm so glad that I can communicate with my sister who lives in Tennessee. Somebody figured out the whole phone thing. And today I can simply text her when I think about her or call her and I can talk to her. And I am so glad. That's a blessing in my life. Nobody's come up with something to meet the need of my soul yet. That's only in God. And you know, that's a wisdom that will only be found in God. So if you understand what I'm saying, to get wrapped up in all the things I'm enjoying this life, we don't ignore them. We're thankful for them. Don't let them make us forget that greatest need we have. And where is that found? Who is that found in? Just a second. Let me just write for an instance here. Dad mentioned Jesus. Let's just call it, you know, our Father, God. We'll just write God here. And let me just draw his line and you tell me where to stop. Okay, there's no more board, so I have to stop. Absolutely. You just got the burden of this message. All right? It's not to negate anything else in the blessings that we enjoy in this life that all stem from the knowledge God gives us and the ability he gives us to understand things. And in that, never to forget that sometimes as humans, we start thinking, well, we got it all. You know, when God gave it to us in the start, the wisdom that each one of these men had, Solomon's especially, we have it recorded directly from God. But it all came from God. And somehow in the midst of all that, sometimes we can forget. Well, we've got this need met, this need met. At some point we start feeling like, well, we got all our needs met. No, you don't. Those are all great. But the only one who transcends this world, whose wisdom is provided in this world but yet transcends it, is God. So to sit here and take in all these other things and forget the one from whom it all started and the only one who can extend past all this and be truly complete. Right? Perfect means complete. See, all these are kind of incomplete. As great as they are, that's not a knock on them. They know a lot more than I'll ever know, probably. But still, it's incomplete. Because it can't transcend past this life. And it can't transcend into the things right now that I'm experiencing that are inside of me. It can't meet those needs. People are being so disappointed daily, over and over. You see struggles happening, and I don't mean that we never experience nerves or anything like that, but you see nervous wrecks that are there because people are trying to still figure out some man that's got enough wisdom to finally meet the needs of my heart and the needs of my soul. And they want to blame the doctor because he couldn't come up with something that fixed me. I want to blame the psychiatrist because he couldn't figure out my problem. I want to blame this other person because they couldn't somehow figure out how to give me peace in my life. They can't do it. It can't be done. Those are all things that dwell with God, that dwell inside of us where man can't reach. All right, and are part of eternity, which man can't handle. Man can't transcend to it. He doesn't have that ability. That's something there's... We need the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's complete. It's right down here. It's where all this came from. And it keeps on going. It goes into eternity. And it reaches not just here and here, you know, and what I can deal with externally, but it reaches to the depths of who I am. It keeps going. People are like, well, I really can't get you. I don't understand what your problem is. The other day, I forget in one situation, but at work, we're always kind of teasing around, just keeping it light for the patients. And I said something about, well, what is my problem? And that just, it was the perfect door for people. You know, well, I really don't know, you know, and all that went on. Well, that's the truth. What is my, well, you know, I really don't know. I want to pray for you and I'll tell you my experiences, but only God can really reach, only his law, only his word, only who he is and his spirit can reach past these elements that man's restricted by in this life and for eternity. He's the only one whose wisdom can do that. All right? So it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. All right? The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Solomon was awful wise, but his method of communication that he was able to come up with has been kind of dated. It's kind of gotten outdated by this time. You know, so we kind of put Solomon aside there in the way he was able to communicate. And we go with what Edison came up. Well, Edison's actually outdated now. And so we're going with what Steve Jobs or whoever he had working for him, you know, and what name are you going to put by it? Because somebody's probably already outdated him. I don't know enough to tell you and to follow the line there. But the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. He meets things in a way that 3,000 years from now, if this world's still existing, it still works. I can pass it on. I can tell you about it. And if you'll go try it, then it can meet your need too. In the year of 5,672, if I was somehow able to share something with somebody there about the Lord's wisdom and what it's done, it'll still be able to meet the needs in the same way. It never becomes outdated. It endures forever. All right? The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Why? Not just because I've got a different attitude. That's why we read these verses sometimes like, well, yeah, that's as a Christian, that's the way I need to be. Wisdom means more than gold, and I'm just not. No, gold still means what gold's always meant. It's just that we've started to understand the limitations of gold, right? Gold still does stuff for us in this life. When we have it and we use it, it still purchases things. Well, thank the Lord. That's the way I have to go buy something. I didn't have enough ox, but I had some gold. And so I didn't have to trade oxen that I didn't have. I could go use the gold and buy something. Money now we have. But it's not, we understand its limitations. That's what it can do for me. I could store it up to eternity, and it's not ever going to do anything more for me than buy something. Right? Is there something I'm missing? I mean, does that mean it's bad? No. It doesn't mean it's bad. Understand its limitations. Let's see things the way they are. So what is it that can go past what gold can do? What is it that can do something more for me in life than gold? What does it say? More to be desired. The statutes of the Lord. They can do something for me that gold can never do. They can give me something that'll last when gold's no longer around. Therefore, while I still use gold as I have it, as the Lord provides it for me, I have something that's worth more. And if I lose, if somehow... understand its limitations. And when we do, then we can value the statutes of the Lord the way they need to be valued in our life. And if somebody sits you down today and says, I will give you the statutes of the Lord written on your heart, or I will give you a mountain of gold, which one do you want? You've got to choose in this case. What are you going to choose? Do you value the statutes of the Lord the way you should in your life? You recognize the worth that they have for you. Because these statutes of the Lord, when I've been in eternity for 1,000 years, I'll be thankful for them. If I trade them for gold, when I've been in eternity 1,000 years, I will still be regretting that decision. And part of my torture in eternity will be that I made that decision in my life, that I didn't value the statutes the way I should have.
Yes.
This morning, that's what the Lord's asking for. He knows you're going to use some gold. He knows you're going to use some wisdom of this world. But he's saying, remember what's worth most. Remember what you need the most in your life. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. 1 Corinthians. And there's a, it's had the 19 first, but maybe we'll start in the 18th here. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The first chapter of 1 Corinthians and the 18th verse. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Okay, I can just imagine Einstein. Without respect to the Lord, I don't know Einstein. I believe he's the one some have talked about, or maybe it's Newton. I can't really remember that there was some respect to who God was. I don't remember that part for sure this morning. But let's just imagine that Einstein had no respect to who God was. What part of his wisdom tells him that the cross is the most valuable thing that's ever existed in this world? What is it in his formulas and all that's going to prove that a wooden cross that a man died on at some point in time is more valuable than all the knowledge he has? You're not going to figure it out in this line here. It's something past that. Thank God he gave us faith that we can take these things in and understand and get a hold of them, because there's not the ability here within this wisdom to say, okay, yeah, that is what's most valuable. That is the thing that means more than anything. Or that is where wisdom is found, is in that cross and what happened on that cross. That's a wisdom that means this so high above what I have and what I'm able to accomplish in my life. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You know, a lot of wisdom comes from experience. It's really the same with God in so many ways. We have his word, but even in that, if we don't experience it, if we don't read it, then it's not much good to us. But what really comes through is when you begin to experience life with God, and you still don't have all the answers, but you see how God begins to work in your life. When you give him space, we talk so much about just giving opportunity because he's alive. And when you begin to see what God can do and you begin to experience it, that's what this is saying here. We realize this is the power of God. This is something that means more. This is something that transcends, that goes on with God through eternity. This is where my answers are found for me. And so it says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. All right. Does that mean like, oh, we might just forget that? No. It means, and I just erased Solomon's line that we drew for him of where his wisdom went to and stopped. So it's not that God's saying erase these lines. That means nothing. No good has ever come from any of this. It's not what this means. It means there's a cap. It goes, okay, his wisdom goes, It stopped. If it didn't stop here, it would have stopped here. If it didn't stop where we stopped it, when it got to this line, that's the height of wisdom that this world has to offer, it would have stopped. It wouldn't have gone past it. All right? That's what it means when God says he will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Because if it was as smart as it ever could be, it couldn't get past this world. It couldn't reach past the physical nature of this world. All right? That can only be done in God. Therefore, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This morning, if I was standing up here, well, I am standing up here, aren't I? Okay. So I'm standing up here. And let's imagine that these people we wrote on the board are standing up here with me. I readily admit I'm not in their class. And I understand. That's not it. But yet, if none of them had a hold of the Lord, this morning I have something. Why? Because I have the Lord. That's the only difference. It doesn't mean they can't have him because of the wisdom. I mean, the most wonderful thing is that man has this wisdom and the Lord with it, that it doesn't take him away from the Lord. But that he also recognizes in all of this, there's a lack I have, and only the Lord can meet that. There's a point where my wisdom becomes foolishness. Well, come here, you fix this. This person has this problem in their soul. Come here, let's apply your wisdom, Einstein, and let's fix this problem. It's going to look pretty foolish because there's nothing Einstein can do in his own wisdom to fix that problem. This person wants to live forever in heaven. Come here, Newton. You could probably figure that one out, the whole gravity thing, right? You got that? It's going to become pretty foolish because it's over that cap. It's past what man's knowledge can do. All right? It's to the place where it takes faith in the Lord. It takes faith in Him because it's His wisdom and His knowledge and His understanding that transcends us, that make changes in us, that enables us to be what we're supposed to be in this life. All right? Psalms 111. Psalms 111, and we'll start with the 7th verse. It says, "The works of His, of the Lord's hands, are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure." Oh, if my wisdom can't deal with this, how am I going to deal with this up here? By faith in God. Because if you can put your faith in God, then His wisdom can handle all of that. Because it's sure in every situation, in everything that I face, and all those things that I can't handle in my own wisdom, which is a real lesson about just depending on Him from the start and giving Him space. But all those things that my wisdom doesn't apply to, the needs of my soul, the needs of eternity, all those things, His commandments are sure. Here's where I have the answers, in the Lord. All right? It says, "All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto His people, and He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name." Here's my redemption. Let's see. You can't find it down here. But here it is right here. It's even more accessible to me than any of this wisdom. The things that I might need from this wisdom, it's going to take a lot more as far as work to try to get a hold of that. But I've got some here that answers the deepest needs of my soul. That just takes my willingness to pursue Him, to believe in Him, to follow after Him. All right? He has sent redemption to His people. I just get a picture of God up here going, "Here it is." We're just bypassing on it. Little man down here that's like, "Oh, I can't jump high enough." And it's trying to, it seems like Einstein had a better shot at it. It seems like Franklin had a better shot at it. Newton had a better shot of it. I'm way down here and I've got so far to jump. No, you don't. Because God is sending it down to wherever you are. To wherever you are. Whoever you are on the scale, God is sending it down. He sent redemption to His people. Little old me, right here. You know what? God sent it down to me. You notice how I didn't meet these lines up here at the top of these wisdom lines that we drew? That's all well and good, but here's where God's reaching. Right down to each one of us. Right down at the core of who we are. To see if we'll listen. If we'll not let all this interfere. "No, God, you got to come meet me up here." I'm not meeting you there. I'm meeting you down here where you are. And who you are. Are you willing to humble down to this point? Say, "Look, it's all loss." Paul said, "I've counted it all as loss, that I might gain Christ." Why? Because Christ wasn't going to meet Paul way up here in his wisdom. Christ's not going to meet you way up here at the peak of your wisdom, wherever it is. Some of you might be higher on the scale than others. Who knows? Christ's going to meet you down here. Are you willing to humble yourself down to this point? And meet Him there. And let Him work in your life. Alright? It says, "He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." Psalms 119. All right. "Oh, how I love thy law." 119 and verse 97. a bad chapter to not give you the verse reference. Psalms 119 and 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Through thy commandments, hath made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I have kept thy precepts. I may never, in terms of this world, know. God doesn't, is it just because I'm saved and living for him? In terms of this world, there are people who know things I will never know. And you will never know if you're a child of God. But you know what the wisdom you have got a hold of is going to do? It's going to keep on going for the rest of eternity. The things you're getting in the Lord, they're going to last forever. It's why they're worth more. Because they last longer. They mean more in the world to come. This investment doesn't go away. Even in the littlest forms, when I'm taking time in my bedroom just to read a verse and just give time, God, 5 minutes to talk to me. I've just got a hold of something that'll go longer than Edison's greatest invention. Although he'll always be amazing in the things he's accomplished in this life, I have something that's going to go longer. And I hope Edison had it too. I'd love to get up there and see him. If he didn't, this is the end of what he was able to do. And how sad to have that much understanding and yet miss it. If that was the case in Edison's life, we all know, we won't know. But I have a hold of something that goes beyond. Lord, do I value it? It's not, once again, young people especially, we're not trying to say, oh, you just got to think this way. You got to know that everything in the Lord is just worth more than everything. It is worth more. This is why it's worth more. Because it goes on longer. It lasts more. It means more eternally for a longer duration. All right? Wisdom is the definition of wisdom is the right use of knowledge. In other words, the correct application of knowledge. So I have knowledge this morning. How am I using it? Am I letting it interfere with the greatest, the most deepest need I have? Am I demanding that God meets me up here somehow and missing it? Or am I willing to humble myself down here? All right? And use the knowledge I have correctly. Apply it correctly in my life. To just keep trying to apply it and make God meet me on my terms. We can say, but did he ought to do it this way. Really? Well, I don't know, but he's not going to. Okay. I mean, so honestly, if that's the way I'm approaching it, I'm being a little lacking in intelligence, maybe. To have so much knowledge and demand that God meets me at the peak of my knowledge. When he's not going to, he said by faith, which means I have to humble back down to a child who knows nothing almost in the Lord and is just willing to accept him and let him teach me. Am I really using the knowledge I have very well if I'm still demanding that God meets me on my terms? Wouldn't the correct application of knowledge be to humble myself down and say, Lord, I really don't know what I need to know. You're the only one who does. Lord, help me. You see that I don't. Everything I do know really doesn't help me when it comes to this. It has to be you teaching me and showing me and opening my eyes. Your word showing me, understanding. But I want to figure out the secrets of the world and then I want God to meet me there. Here are the secrets of the world. And it's a very humble way. Because so many times it makes you look foolish in the eyes of the world. But you know, the reality is that you've got a hold of what matters the most if you've got a hold of this. You've got a hold of the greatest wisdom there is in the world if you've got a hold of this. This will last forever. If you miss something out there, if you get a math problem wrong, now I'm trying to get it right, but if you get it wrong, it's okay. You know? Make sure you're paying attention to what matters most in your life. Don't neglect it for all those other things, all right? Once again, James 3 and 13. Just want to finish with this. It says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom." Humble yourself. Get down to where God's waiting to meet you. The truth is, he's already there. He's already at that point. And if you're willing to humble down to that, say, "Lord, I really don't know. I really don't, Lord. You're the only one who does. You're the only one whose wisdom is going to be here and just keep on going. You're the only one. So, Lord, I'm willing to come down and meet you down here. This is where I'm going to meet you, Lord. And whatever comes out of living this kind of life, this humility before you, that's what's going to be seen out of my life. That's what I want to see, out of meekness. Let a good conversation, a good behavior, a good way of life be seen out of me because I've humbled myself before you. And so, Lord, it's you, it's not me. You pray for me.